Earners, what's up? Look, I want to give y'all a little peek behind the curtain of producing Earn Your Leisure. It's a lot more than just sitting down and chatting. It involves meticulous planning, recording, editing, and then promoting each episode to ensure it reaches all of you. And if you picked up any of our merch, then you know there's a whole extra layer of logistics from inventory management to shipping. Running a podcast is like running a small business. And speaking of business, I know many of you entrepreneurs are involved in e-commerce. You understand how crucial it is to streamline operations and cut costs wherever possible. That's why I want to talk to you about ShipStation, the multi-carrier shipping solution that integrates seamlessly with all your online sales channels. It's all about optimizing your shipping, connecting with expert partners, and freeing up more of your time to focus on scaling your business. Now let's talk about our experience with ShipStation. This tool has been a game changer for us, especially with automating routine tasks. Being able to manage everything from one dashboard and print shipping labels with just a click, absolute lifesavers. Plus, the discounts we get on shipping costs are incredible. Honestly, it feels like we're saving thousands. And as our show and merch sales have grown, ShipStation's robust automation and reporting features have helped us keep up without missing a beat. For those of you who get overwhelmed by order volumes, ShipStation's easy-to-use dashboard is a dream come true. You can import orders from any sales channel, apply shipping preferences automatically, and handle customer service issues right there. Not to mention the savings with up to 89% off carrier rates like UPS, DHL Express, and USPS. It's no wonder over 130,000 companies stick with ShipStation long term. So, are you ready to turn your shipping challenges into growth opportunities? Head over to ShipStation.com and use promo code EARN for a free 60-day trial. Again, that's ShipStation.com, promo code EARN. Start streamlining your shipping and scaling your business today. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Earners, what's up? Look, today I want to talk to you about something that's been on my mind, a real weight on my shoulders. You know, we all have these moments, big or small, that just stick with us. When we don't talk about these things, then they can start to affect our lives in unexpected ways. That's why having a space to express these feelings is so important. I know firsthand the benefits of therapy. It's been transformative for my friends and family. Therapy can help you learn crucial skills like setting boundaries and developing coping strategies. It's not just about dealing with major events. It's also about enhancing your day-to-day life, allowing you to become the best version of yourself. So if you've been thinking about therapy, BetterHelp can be a great option for you. It's entirely online, which makes it super convenient and adaptable to your busy schedule. You start by filling out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. And you can even switch therapists at any time if you feel the need, without any additional cost. So get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/EarnYourLeisure today to get 10% off your first month. Remember, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/EarnYourLeisure. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Head over there now.
If I have the title and Sharnice says, hey, I can help you. I'll sell you. I mean, I'll buy the home from you. Right? Cool. And she's the highest bidder. Now she can go buy that home. She's the title owner. And she can go to Rashad like, yo, I'm the title owner. So unless you're going to give me $30,000 for this house, I'm moving it. And Rashad can be like, either I'm going to pay you that or no. All right, cool. Now she's taking that home to Troy. Because she owned the asset.
My graduates from my school being Forbes, backdrop.
Backdrop.
F*** a mic drop. Backdrop.
Backdrop. All right, guys. Welcome back. EYL. This is a reunion episode.
Yeah.
So, Sharnice and Byron, this is an interesting situation because the first episode actually happened, like, we didn't plan it. Mm-hmm. So I'll give you the backstory. About 2.5 years ago, we did a networking event in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And I think at the Bureau Bar.
Yep.
Shout out to the Bureau Bar.
So that was our first time. And that was my first time ever in Chicago. Our first time in Chicago as Earn Your Leisure. And it was a vibe. Mm-hmm. It was packed. Yeah. Everybody came out, showed love. And Byron actually had walked up to me, introduced himself, and was telling me like what he does. Mm-hmm. And you know, it happens all the time. People do that all the time. Yeah. But what made it interesting is that it's something that I'd never really heard of with mobile home investing.
Thanks.
And I never heard, up until that point, I was calling it trailer.
Right.
So the mobile home investing thing, I'm like, all right, this is interesting. So we had some time and I'm like, yo, we should do this episode. I think I told Mike, like, yo, I met these people, they do mobile homes. That's like interesting. We should do this. They're like, when you want to do it? I'm like, tomorrow. They're like, all right, well, sure, let's do it. So
I definitely I think we spoke after that too. Yeah, they said we're gonna do it then.
Right. Yeah. So we actually did it. We didn't have like a studio, so we did it in their home.
Move furniture.
Actually, we went to do the Downing Brothers, and we saw them. And like, yo, where are we gonna do this? We gonna do it here? Nice. Like, y'all can pull it to the house.
Yeah.
Like, all right, we don't know Chicago like that, but we'll pull up.
Yeah. So we went to the South Side. We got it done. And it actually turned out to, for a long time, it was the number one episode on YouTube.
Definitely.
For a while. I'm still in the top 10, I think.
For sure.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's one of these episodes that just caught wildfire.
Mm-hmm. Number 41 for those not in the know. Stop playing.
Yeah, episode.
Stop playing Ride or Die.
Right. So, but since then, you know, a lot has changed. Mm-hmm. So since then, they got engaged.
Yeah. Congratulations on that, y'all.
Yes.
Yes. All right, he did good, y'all.
There you go. Number one.
Right.
They moved on up from the South Side.
Moving on up.
From the South Side to downtown. They got a whole vibe downtown.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Driving Range Rovers, living the dream. But what also happened during that period of time, and this is the interesting part. So at the end of the episode, so when we first met them, they was investing in mobile homes, like individual mobile homes.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the episode, they said like their goal was to transition into buy a mobile home park.
Mm-hmm.
And now that's actually a reality, and they actually own two mobile home parks, right?
Facts.
With two more mobile home parks under contract.
Yes, sir.
With a total of 173 mobile homes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I thought it would be a perfect time to have a follow-up conversation.
What's your plans on scaling for your personal business brand?
Man, so we definitely want mobile home parks. Mm-hmm. So the larger goal with that is to get an acquisition. Where we find somebody who has a portfolio, 10, 20 mobile home parks that's looking kind of just to retire, right? And just pretty much purchase that portfolio and just build from there and really open up the floodgates for more people to invest in mobile homes.
And throughout that, you know, they have education. They've been teaching people on social media. So this is a dope.
Before you go there, right? I remember like after the episode, yeah, I did like a free webinar.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I'm gonna sign up for this. And I forgot that day. And then I couldn't sign up for a free webinar for the next 3 months.
But you should holler at us, man.
I was like, damn, a lot of
y'all
people
packed us out.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Every week.
Nothing was the same.
Nothing was the same.
That's the album we should have had.
For real, nothing was the same.
The
EYL effect.
The EYL effect.
That was the original EYL effect.
One of them. It was them, Alex.
Trap.
After that.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people caught that title.
Yeah,
that
that's
initial title wave.
Yeah. Those two months were crazy.
That initial title wave. So, yes. This episode, I'm looking forward to it because it's the transition. And now we're going to have the conversation of mobile home park investing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, first and foremost, welcome back.
Man, thank y'all for having us. Man. Appreciate y'all.
Okay. Right.
I'm like, you know what a bathroom. I'm like, damn.
Like, we never been here, Troy.
Like,
come on.
My fault.
We in the Mecca right now, y'all.
We've seen each other so many times. I'm like,
yes, this is where it all started for us. Upstairs. Nice. Now we downstairs.
Moving on down.
Yes. So, all right. So, let's get into this conversation. So, how you said you was going to do it, but how did you actually get into mobile home park investing?
Yeah, man. So it was dope to declare, you know, on the episode, but you know, after that, it was a huge influx, right? We had a lot of people hitting us up, and actually our partner had reached out to us like, yo, you know, I saw the episode, you know, you guys knew what you were talking about. I have some communities in Indiana. If you want some houses, you know, come out and take a look. One took a look, the deal didn't really work. He's gonna give me 19 free houses. I couldn't find anybody to do the work out there. So I'm like, yo, man, I'm interested in getting in this space, man. So if you come across a deal, like, man, we game. Because I was looking, but I kind of needed that guidance as well. And so sure enough, that email came across. Like, yeah, I got this 51 unit. You know, I'm looking for a few partners, 50,000 buy-in. Like, say less. Like, let's go ahead and get in and jump right onto this. Yeah. And, man, shout out our partner Charlie, man. He ended up quarterbacking that deal, and we got a firsthand to see how everything was done so we can learn the process. Yeah. But again, shout out to y'all, you know, for being a connect on that because, you know, he saw us, you know, from EYL and trusted us. And, man, that's how we ended up making that first one happen.
So you got $50,000 for 51 homes?
So he initially raised $350,000. Okay. The park, we got the purchase price for 1.1. Okay. So we had to raise 30% of that, put up to $350,000. So we was partially investors on that.
Yeah.
And yeah, man, we end up locking it down. We went, that's the video we actually have on YouTube where we went to go see the park. And man, it was special seeing, you know, what we really said, you know, what was gonna happen.
Is that that's the video when you're walking through and people don't know, like, y'all are
owners.
Yeah. And they talking crazy.
Yeah. Like,
okay. Right. That's too soon.
Yep. Yep.
Got you.
Yep.
So walk me through that process of buying the first mobile home. Like, how much did it cost again? Mobile home park.
So that mobile home park was $1.1
million. So, how'd you get the financing?
So we used a small community bank. So that park is actually in Greensburg, PA. And that's one thing, if you're looking for mobile home parks, you either want to go to a credit union or a small local bank, because they're more willing to finance a smaller deal, right? Mm-hmm. And also there's more lenders that come out now. So we end up locking up the finance, and again, 30% down. A few of us put up, you know, $50,000 a piece, and that's how we end up locking that one down.
So the Indiana deal didn't work because you didn't have anybody to, I guess, refurbish the properties?
Yeah, correct, yeah.
You didn't have a handyman.
So, like, when y'all got this one, it was like, all right, number one, was there a lot of work that had to be done? And if so, like, did you have a team on the ground or did the partners come together? How did that work?
Yeah, so the beautiful thing about buying a mobile home park, what we always looking for, is like buying a business. So it had intricate pieces. It had already a team of repairmen on site. It had a park manager in place. So it had equipment. So for us going in, we just adding value. So the biggest thing we had to do was fill the empty homes, right? Or fill the empty pads, which are empty lots with no homes on it. So that was part of when we got the actual financing for it, we wanted to go ahead and have enough, you know, cash so that way we can put new homes on there as well.
So the property actually has space for you to add to it.
Yep.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. Now, you said that there's a couple of roles that you need to have in the park. Can we run that down again? So like a property manager, I'm assuming, but what other roles do we need to have if we're buying an entire park?
For sure.
So I would say with buying a park, you definitely want to have your park manager in place. But to take a step back, before going through the process of actually purchasing a mobile home park, you definitely want to have a great CPA. You want to have a great attorney who understands commercial real estate, but really, an attorney who has done mobile home parks and who has worked with investors who have purchased land. So you want to have that. And then you want to have a great wholesaler who can do the proper due diligence. Mm-hmm. So before, let's just say if I'm looking online, right? So I'm going to drop a few sources for people who want to just source where they can find mobile home parks available. One website is mobilehomeparkstore.com. It's a great website where you can go and just source any type of parks that's available. So 9 times out of 10, who's listing the parks on there is the brokers. Mm. So the beautiful thing about brokers is that once you build that relationship and you communicate with them, they'll have access to what we call pocket listings. So pocket listings, we know, is off-market deals. So they'll have even some off-market deals or parks that may not even be listed online. So that's another way, just kind of source some deals that's, again, not listed. So once you see a park that you're interested in, the first step is due diligence. You want to get in contact with the municipality, so the county records department, make sure that the land is zoned for mobile homes. So you want to make sure that it's properly zoned. You want to make sure that there's no code violations. Same thing, you want to contact your county health department to come out and assess the water. You want to make sure that the water has no code violations as well. So that's just kind of like the back end of the due diligence that's needed before you even look into purchasing a mobile home community.
All the things we're not thinking of.
Right. Right. Okay. Right.
So, and then did you sell that?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So we end up selling that park. We got it in July of 2020. We end up selling that one in November of 2021. We end up selling it. We end up selling it for $2.3
million. So you purchased it for $1
million. Mm-hmm.
You sold it for
$2.3 million. Yep.
So you made a $1.3 million profit.
Yes.
So How did that happen? Why did it appreciate so much?
So after the pandemic, what happened was the mobile home park space was one of the best asset classes in real estate as far as collecting full rent roll, because it's affordable housing. So people were still paying their, you know, paying their rent. And so it made it very attractive, very attractive. So now you saw larger players, the Blackstones, the Northwestern Mutuals, these large institutions are starting to come into the play like, whoa, hold on, like these cash flowing, these some decent assets. So now larger players. So now you have, you know, investors like us and, you know, other investors like, hold on, I think we could put it on top dollar now. Because even still to this day right now, like mobile home parks, it just, the prices went up, you know, 50, 100% just because of the cash flow. And so, you know, just with that, it was just a hot time to sell. And we ended up putting it on the market. And we actually had some issues kind of getting houses filled, you know, with the whole, you know, the rent moratorium and things like that. We had a few tenants not paying and things, but we were still, you're talking about able to double our profit.
That's crazy.
Is there... Section 8 tenants there?
So not in our particular park. So there's very rare that you're going to find Section 8 tenants. And the reason why is because more so there, Section 8 is more geared to for apartments. All right. So when it comes to mobile homes, you have some, very some, but we really the only affordable housing sector that you don't necessarily need Section 8 that you can afford. So we don't really get too much help from the government and things like that. Now, I knew Ben Carson was actually talking about, well, when the administration was in, he wanted to put manufactured homes to allow that, you know, because people can pay off their homes and then the government would pretty much save money. But that didn't get passed. So we still hoping that this administration look into it.
So when y'all bought the mobile homes, we talked about insurance, obviously, because it's mobile. It's not really like a house, right?
Right.
Do the same rules apply when we're talking about a park? Are we, like, how do we ensure that? What's the taxes on that? Is it the similar situation as if we're buying individual mobile homes?
No, so the taxes, what I love about the taxes, especially depending, most parks are in rural America, right?
Yeah.
So the taxes are cheap. I think on our particular park, our taxes less than $70,000, right, on that asset.
For the year.
And so the people pay personal property taxes. So if they, whoever owns, they don't necessarily have to pay the land tax. We pay the land tax. But again, you're talking about less than $7,000 for over 5 acres, right? So
that's close for a second.
Right?
Wow.
So again, it's a definitely a great, you know, way to save taxes. And then you talk about insurance. Normally, for us, we do pay insurance, right? But for each individual home, we make sure our tenants have insurance on, you know, that their mobile home is covered as well.
Mm-hmm. So, as a mobile home park owner, do you own every home?
So for us, the goal is not to, right? You have some mobile home park owners that do, but the reason for us, we want to have our tenants to own their homes, because what it helps us to do, we just own the land. We're leasing the dirt.
So, okay, that's interesting. So the 1.1 was just for land.
With homes included.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you did own the home.
So we did. And then what we do from there is that's when we go in and we pretty much create seller financing. So we can come in and say, hey, listen, you know what? We see you've been renting from us. Let us help you own your own asset now, mm-hmm. right? So now we can help them, you know, again, they'll have it, put them on a monthly term, they own their home, they have their title, and so now again they just pay for the lot rent, which is what they pay for, like the amenities of the park. And the reason why we do that is, for one, the responsibility, because the more homes we own, if anything goes wrong, then my maintenance men have to go to each individual house to fix. But as a homeowner, they're gonna take more pride into their house. They're more likely not to tear it up less. And then the beautiful thing about it, when it's like when we want to sell, now they're able to get bank financing, because a bank is more inclined to loan to more tenant-owned homes than versus park-owned homes, because it's basically less risk.
So how many homes was on that lot again?
51.
51.
So you owned all 51 homes at the beginning of
it? No. Oh, man. So I think when, I don't know how to accurate number, but I think it was less than 15 homes, I know, okay. That was actually, yeah,
the
we
other owned. People already owned them.
10 homes, yep.
Yeah.
And then you sold them back to the owner, to mm-hmm. the people that was renting?
Yep.
And when you sold it, they didn't get any homes with the person that brought it for.
You do it all without breaking a sweat. Like being a boss exec, to Tuesday tennis, to homework. And why do they give the kids so much homework? Family dinners, lunches, brunches, trips to the vet, and a weekend getaway that's anything but a getaway. And you do it all in style. Even when you have back-to-back conference calls on top of the kids' AAU games, and not to mention your side hustle. And that's why they created the fully reimagined Infiniti QX60, a luxury SUV as functional as it is stylish and as versatile as it is serene, with premium features like a panoramic moonroof, ample cargo space, and available massaging front seats to bring the ease of luxury to your everyday. Introducing the all-new Infiniti QX60, designed to help you take on life and all the chaos it may come with, in style. Learn more at InfinityUSA.com. Now with extremely limited availability, contact your local retailer for inventory information.
So they technically do. So when you buy a mobile home community, right, like the guarantee is, hey, I'm buying it with these homes, it's going to pay us this land fee. Nine times out of 10, but the community is good, people not trying to move their mobile home out of there. I don't like saying because they can't afford to move their home out of there, because sometimes that is the case. Mm-hmm. But if the community is good, they want to stay there. So you technically, like, for example, you're looking, it will say like a 71 pad community, right? Even though the homes may be still tenant owned, mm-hmm. it's just, you know, that those is the, that is the lot rent that's coming in.
So that was the deal. That was one deal, but it's mm-hmm. a team situation going on. So yes. while you're closing that deal, I know you had a couple more parks in 2020, right? So, like, what was that process like, the search process? How are we getting financing to get all these, right? Because I think it was, how many we got in 2020?
Four.
It was four.
Four joints?
Yeah.
So the cool thing is that our one partner, he quarterbacked that those deal as well. So the first park that Byron's been talking about, that was one park. And then he hit us back up a few months later and was like, hey, I have a three-park deal. You know, same situation. He's going to quarterback. He has a team involved as well. He hit us like, hey, you know, same buy-in, 50K. He hit us up. We had the money. That's just kind of how that happened.
And then you sold one of those, all right?
Yeah, so that, I love that deal. So that deal, so those three parks we got for 1.8.
All three of them?
All three for 1.8. Greensburg, PA. So right around the Pittsburgh area, all three. Mm. So one of the parks we just actually sold, again, right after we sold via Vista View, we sold it for 3.5. So that one park paid for all. So now we just own two other parks free and clear. And it's just, we just building up equity on those.
How many units in each one? When you say Vista View, I'm thinking White Man Can't Jump. That's where Sidney Dean lived. For those not know. But how many lots were in this and the other two? Was it like a 50, another 50 or 70?
It was 48, and then what was the other two?
It was 48 and, man,
I want to say it was 50 and 52.
Because we had 172 left. I got to pull out my calculator, put my phone over there.
And since they all, I mean, you invested in a similar area, does that obviously make it easier for you now to just check on everything?
Oh, yeah.
Because
yeah.
some people might hear an episode, yeah. they probably heard your episode, like, yo, there's something that happened in Virginia. There's mobile home parks mm-hmm. in Virginia. Mm-hmm. And I live in Chicago.
Yeah.
Right.
That, I mean, I don't know if that may be the best investment, right? Because, I mean, I got to get to this place just if there's an issue.
Yeah. So the cool thing, our partner Charlie actually moved out too. He was in the Bay. And he moved out to Pittsburgh. Like, yo, you know what? I could be closer. I could be hands-on. Yeah. So that's the cool thing about it. And like, to your point, the best thing is to, we tell people, starting out, you should become a passive investor. That's what we did. We became passive investors because the owner-operator, you do have more responsibility. You are more hands-on. And if you don't have the experience, we see a lot of owner-ops kind of come in this business and fail because it's like, oh, yeah, I got a park. Yo, I'm getting all these units for this lower price. And now I don't have the resources. What do I go next? I don't have the people to repair. I don't have all these different things. Mm-hmm. So a lot of them kind of, they don't know the homes. They don't know the homes.
Mm-hmm. So, okay. So, but after that, you went on like a dry spell for a little bit, right? Trying to buy parks. So what happened with that?
Yeah. So for myself, I'm like, you know what? This is dope. We got them this year. I went on Shan's podcast. Like, I'm getting 10 this year. Declared it. And when I tell you, every offer I was outbid, or it just didn't work, you know, that I was doing, we were conducting due diligence and it just didn't line up. And it was a tough year, you know, pride wise. I'm like, man, I said I was gonna get 10. And each month, each quarter, I'm seeing, I'm just like, yo, like,
was that 2021?
2021. Yeah. And I'm just like, man, this
and
is.
We was flying out a lot. Remember, yeah. back and forth down to Atlanta, different parts of Georgia, looking at parks. We mm-hmm. looked at a few in North Carolina. But the thing too is that some of the parks that we would see via online, mm-hmm. when we got in person, we like, whoa, it's way more maintenance is going to be mm-hmm. needed, you know, done on this land versus what the pictures look like. So that was another reason that I felt like it kind of held us back a little bit.
Yeah.
So you, I mean, that's good that you said that, because when you see the properties, you're like, damn. all right, it's going to be more than I thought. Mm-hmm. How much reserves do you need, like, when you're getting a park, right? Because people say, like, oh, we can get in the deal. Yeah, 50 mm-hmm. to get into mm-hmm. it. But, like, yeah, we might need some money for these renovations, and we might have need money to pay salaries for mm-hmm. the yeah. property managers and all these people that are going to be part of this unit now. Like, yeah. what's that like?
So the key thing, you know, like you said, needing those reserves, you know, depends on what type of funding you need. That's why the due diligence is so important, right? We want to mm-hmm. see what's all every worst case scenario that can happen, right? A lot of times, like, it comes to, you know, you see a lot of older sewer systems, or they may be on septic or well water, and so you definitely want to budget, you know, for those problems. So again, when reserve, it really depends on how many units. So let's say I'm looking for a 25 unit, right? And hypothetically, let's say a 25 unit is going to cost me $750,000. So depending on if I know, you know, the septic well, I know I want a few new houses, I can get the houses financed, but now I might try to raise another $150,000 just to have those for those reserves. And then normally salaries, what we want to do is, like I said, a mobile home park, we look at it like this: I'm buying a business. So if it's already cash flowing, is already paying out, either A, am I cutting costs? Or would I add value and bring on more people to the team?
Yeah, I feel like the property manager becomes like the RA.
Right. Pretty much. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Yo, you want to live for free?
Bruh. Exactly. Yeah, she's right. A psychologist.
So talk about the land fee.
Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, talk about that.
Yeah. So, you know, the average lot rent in America is $375, right?
$375.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
The lot rent is, that's how much they're paying just to mm-hmm. park their mobile home.
There. Yep. Yeah. Right. So similar to HOA, right? Just like a condo, townhome. And so the cool thing about ours in PA, all of ours were 425 and up. And it's all about location, right? It's you can have, for example, like in New York, we've had students that we've seen that their lot rents are like 725, you know, mm-hmm. 750, I mean, just up and higher, whereas California, San Diego, maybe $1,200. Wow. Illinois, we see around like the 550, 600 range. So, the purpose of that, again, like you said, parking, making sure that their mobile home, they're leasing, but it comes with, for example, so we're in a colder climate, we know we got snow removal, right? Mm-hmm. It could be trash, it could be amenities, like, for example, yeah, right? And then, you know, for profit as well, you know, for us as the park owner. But normally what we're starting to see, though, this is one thing I could say I don't really like about the industry. Some people, so let's say, you know, Ernie Leisure buys a mobile home community, and the current lot rent is 275, and you're like, you know what, we want to come in and kind of get, you know, get it up, but you guys come in and raise it and be like, all right, next year it's going to be 375, so you raise about $100. So now that kind of affects, you know, your people coming in, even though you know you're going to add value. So one thing I like when I see, like, even with us, we make small increases, maybe anywhere from, you know, $10 to $25 on the high end, and then that way over time they see the value. But when you come in and just say, hey, you know what, you're going to raise it $100, it's like, yo, like, this, I can't afford this right now. And now you're seeing people almost like, yeah, they parks are getting gentrified.
It's like the, yo, it's under new management.
Yep.
Facts. So you said by state, right? Like, mm-hmm. depending on the state, that mm-hmm. that fee can go up. So if I'm starting, right, obviously if I've done the mobile homes and I've done mm-hmm. that and I'm a passive investor, if I'm looking to raise much, do I start in a state that is known for, do I start in California where the price is a lot higher, or do I start in New York where you said it could be like $725? Or do I say, you know what, let me grow to that. I'll start in Indiana, like an mm-hmm. Idaho or something like that. No disrespect to those states. No.
So for me, if I was looking to get into a park, and if I do live in a market that I know is a little bit higher, I would start in like a Georgia or North Carolina, kind of like the southern states. You'll see like that cheaper lot rent, or like you said, Indiana, or even like some parts of Illinois, but like southern Illinois, you'll see like the 375 and the 400. But again, you got to go out to rural America in order to see those prices.
So let's talk about like some issues that you might have as far as owning a park. Repairs and maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
What's the deal with that? How does that work?
So roads, right? Depending on how old, some you come on some of these parks is, you know, just gravel. Even some, not even just no pave, no nothing, right? There's just dirt. So you can have issues with that. Definitely, you know, plumbing. If you're buying a park that has, you know, septic or well water, you know, you always have to make sure that water is tested, and make sure, you know, because again, you would hate to, your water's tampered. Now your tenants without water.
Talk about that, the test, the water being tested.
Yeah. So with well water, it has to meet, definitely for the county, it has to meet a certain grade, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, again, if you're not maintenancing that, you know, on when it's supposed to be maintenance and things like that, that water can get tampered. And you know, that's one of the worst case scenarios. You know, imagine you have a community and they out of water, right? And so you know, that's an issue. Same thing with septic, that can get backed up. So we always try to look for, right?
That's a bad thing, right?
Very bad thing. And so we try to look for parks that come with city water and city sewer, because now we know the city has our back. So if something comes out, that's the city's responsibility versus us as owners. Now, you know, we have to try to go in and get this septic and well. I think other problems, tenants. You know, I mean, I remember you saying the first one, you was like, yo, like Ozark, right? and then you do have communities like that, right? Yeah. You do have communities that, you know, it's a trap house or a meth house, you know, and it could kind of corrupt the neighborhood. You could have some bad tenants in there that are, you know, that just cause a lot of trouble. Anything you can think of, babe?
And then I would say the houses. I think what happens too is a lot of, you know, investors, they purchase these large communities where you may have a 75 pad and 50 of the lots are filled, but now you have 25 homes that need renovations. And if you don't understand how to renovate the home and just the process of buying and selling the individual mobile home, that's a maintenance within itself as well. Yeah. So that's why we see a lot of park owners like shy away from investors, where us being, you know, started out investing in individual homes, we see the value of allowing our students, allowing investors in our park to come and actually renovate the house, and then allowing them to buy and flip it, or they can put them on payments. They go ahead and get their profit, and then we still collect our land fee, the lot rent.
Yeah. I had like two questions in there. That was a lot. So like topography is something that I've done before. Mm-hmm. Very expensive, right? For those not know, it's like when you have to test the soil, which for you, it means everything,
yes.
Right? If your land is sinking, that's an issue. It's like that. Have you encountered that? Or is that something that you guys do when you're doing a due diligence as well?
Yes, so that is something we do. Now, we haven't encountered it. And now most states, what they require is you have to have a certain amount of cement. So the cool thing about mobile homes, again, since they're mobile, when they are, you know, I'm gonna say bus, but when they are transported, right? Normally each unit has a concrete slab. And that concrete slab is, for stability for the home. So again, so you won't have the sinking.
Yeah.
So the thing, you know, now is a requirement, because that what was happening. You have homes, you can go into the park and you can see they uneven, they kind of topple because like you said, because of what's selling. Yeah. So that is definitely part of the due diligence. You do have to test the soil.
Yeah, don't play around. The second part of it was like, as far as having tenants that might cause issues in it, what is the eviction process like in a mobile home setting? Like, we know different states have it for apartments and, you know, condos, but what is it like for the mobile home parks? Yeah.
So very similar, very similar, you know, when it comes to evictions. You know, I will say we've now the difference is they can file earlier. It states like Louisiana, where they can file if you're behind 10 days, they can get the process started. And there's a lot of states like that. When we first came, we was like, man, who regulating this, right? Like, how is this allowed? But you see it as almost, you know, anywhere from 10 to 30 days where they can get that process started.
So, like, what's the cash flow that you're looking for? Like, on average, I know it depends, but is it a play for appreciation or is it a play for cash flow?
Both. So cash flow, you coming in, for us, you know, we like anything that's at least $8,000 cash flowing, because we know we can go add value. If it's empty houses, we know we can get that cash flow up to anywhere from 10 to 12. For example, our first one that we sold, that cash flow we had when we purchased it, that cash flow, it was right at 11. We end up getting up to $17,000 a month.
And that's for the park.
For the park. Yep.
So $17,000 net.
Yeah. $17,000 net.
Okay, and you said, what was it before?
It was 11.
So what made you, how did that increase to 17,000?
So for we did increase the lot rent. We were able to fill the empty pads that we had, as well as he had, no, that was actually, that was the first two. Because I was thinking about the other park where they end up adding value, like the vending machines and stuff.
Once you fill the empty houses and you get either a tenant buyer or you get somebody else in there, that kind of makes up for the missing lot rent that you're originally not getting by having those pads empty.
Mm-hmm. Now you said something about vending machines.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on, Ernest? Look, at 26, I made one of the most important decisions of my life. That's right. I didn't have family at the time, but I did have a life insurance policy. A wise man told me life insurance isn't about the people who die. It's about the people who live. It's one of the best ways to secure generational wealth for your family's future. And it makes perfect sense why people get life insurance, especially term coverage, which surprisingly is affordable. Why not pay a little bit each month to secure the future of the people you love long term? If you're asking yourself that question, I want you to check out Ladder. Ladder makes it impressively fast and easy to get coverage. You just need a few minutes and a phone or a laptop to apply. Ladder's algorithms work instantly, so you'll know right away if you're approved for coverage. No hidden fees, and you can cancel any time. And since life insurance costs more as you age, now is the time to get started. So check out Ladder today to see if you're instantly approved. Go to ladderlife.com/EYL. That's LADDER life.com/EYL. That's ladderlife.com/EYL. You know how this works. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Secure your family's future right now.
That's a play.
Probably been watching EYL.
Hey, that's a play. That's
so
a play.
You can put
that's a, it's a value add. Again, I'm, you know, again, man, we on EYL, so we got to get some gems, man. So, you know, honestly, a lot, you can do a lot of value adds, right? Like I said, you can add vending machines. One thing that we incorporate,
food trucks.
Yeah, incorporating is buying older food truck. Now you can have food truck, and now you can actually have, you know, one of the tenants who's one of the best cooks to come and now serve that. So it's a lot of different value adds. Even I'm gonna give them a play. You get, so now instead of having an actual convenience store, you could purchase an older RV, a camper, and turn that into a convenience store. So now it's mobile, so that can go get its own snacks and fill up. And now, again, because the biggest thing you want to do for a community, you really want to have a community. I get it. We look at it as investors, but for us, it's the community. What can we do for the people? How can we add value for the people? And those are the few ways we would do it, just finding out what they like.
Yeah, that's a good idea for sure, because it's like people got to, instead of going to the store, you can just have everything that you need. So in these mobile home communities, what is the vibe? It's just like 5 8, how big is it? 8 acres, 5 acres, something like that?
Five.
Sorry, so 5 acres of just land with 70 mobile homes. That's it? There's nothing like it's. What are they doing?
Yeah.
Going to work.
Right. They living a regular life, right?
So one thing I will say, what I love about mobile, they're more, it's a more tight-knit family, right? Mm-hmm. Because again, sometimes they are stereotyped, right? You live in a trailer or things like that, right? But down south, you see it more often. But in the community is more tight-knit than a lot of times than we think of. Like you said, they may, you know, go to work, activities, depending on where they're
located. I guess that's kind of a jaded question, you know, coming from New York. It's like, I'm thinking, like, you got to go to a restaurant, you got to have a bar, you got to be able to go to the gym. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, everything is in walking distance. Mm-hmm. Or right. At least driving distance.
Right, right.
But I guess most people, if you're in middle America, exactly. A lot of stuff is not, it's not like you live in a city anyway.
Exactly.
Right. Even if you live in a house, you don't, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What if we could turn one of those like those fast food franchises into the mobile unit?
Mm.
And now bring that to the property.
What?
So let's say you had
like McDonald's
and we had a mobile truck. That came same way that they cook, like the fast food truck does. Now you bring that to the property. I was really thinking entertainment wise too, like maybe once a month, you know, like they have those mobile screens. Like you just do that for the community.
Oh, it's a lot of plays.
Oh, yeah, it's a lot of plays.
And depends. So especially down south, like those down south. So it's their communities. So you have all age communities, and then you have 55 plus communities. Mm-hmm. 55 plus, again, anybody who's 55 plus retired, they like living amongst each other. Yeah. So in a lot of those communities, you have different, you know, star. You have 5-star communities, you know, 1-star communities. 1-star is the like, yo, I don't think I'm driving enough. And then you got the 5-star. You're like, yo, these mobile homes, because the nice. New stuff is crazy. I'll talk about that. But so now they have entertainment, right? They have like. We did business in, remember, Indiana, they had a clubhouse. So they'll have different, you know, different weekly things that they'll do in the clubhouse. Mm-hmm. So you have mobile home communities that, you know, are family based, and they definitely have, you know, different things.
Or I was going to say, even the one, our first park that we did business in Illinois, they had a pool, a swimming pool for the kids, like a basketball court. Like, it seems small to us, but like you said, like individuals who live in like rural America, like that is their entertainment.
I got a bunch of ideas.
So,
go crazy.
Mobile homes, I was always thinking the whole point is to be able to drive. But I'm hearing that most people don't leave, right? So why do you have a mobile home if you're not going to be driving?
So the difference, so so the ones you talk about, like the driving, those are the
RVs.
And so the mobile, like more so manufactured home, but the reason we still call them mobile because again they be moved to a spot, but those are the double wise, the single wise that you see, those are more so that
so can you drive them?
No.
So they're just okay.
They're
called mobile because they can be moved.
Exactly. Right,
they're not actually like driving.
We're not going on a road trip with this.
Nope. And they're assembled in the like a tiny home, right? Yeah. And they're assembled in the factory. Yeah. So again, it's just like, for example, like Clayton Homes, that's Warren Buffett's company. They cranking out, some factories can crank out 30 homes a day. So they cranking them out, just like, you know, just like a like a car, and then they moving them to the location.
Well, you know, it's one of these things that we're in a housing crisis right now, and inflation is at all-time high, and the housing market is at all-time highs also. So a lot of people can't afford to live places. So it's like, you know, because how much do these things cost now? Like, how much mobile homes cost now on average?
So average, you go ahead.
I was going to say use average. So when we first started, you can really find a used mobile home for less than $5,000. So I would say that we definitely ran the market up a little bit. So I would say, shout out to y'all. But no, but so now, right? But now I would definitely say you can still find a mobile home, a used mobile home, for less than $10,000. Now a newer mobile home, like a 2022. That really depends on the make and model, but I would say average, the lowest we've seen is like 30,000 upwards to like 50,000.
And how many square feet?
So anywhere from 700 square feet to a double wide on a high end, almost 2,000 square feet.
So that could be like 2 to 3 bedrooms.
2,000. Oh, yeah. 2,000
square feet, that's like 2 bedrooms.
You can get 4 bedrooms out of those.
That they come with laundry units inside of it too?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Everything.
They have laundry units?
Yeah. So what I love about it, imagine
about a mobile laundry.
Hey, right.
Don't bring that to the community.
So the beautiful thing about it.
That's a good idea.
Right. Like most, so after the 80s, everything was made just like an apartment, right? So imagine just a long apartment with no upstairs, downstairs. It's just this unit. And then one thing, she said the average about 10,000. But I know your viewers from California, from Massachusetts, New York, they're gonna be like 10,000 where? Because it's all about location. The same mobile home that we can go get for $10,000, let's say in Florida, in San Diego, that costs $70,000. So it's all about location, right? So a lot of places they don't see that, but I always tell people, if your mobile home costs $70,000, that means your single family home is at least $400,000. So it's a huge gap, and it's always gonna be an affordable option.
So okay, so I was reading and they said the mobile home parks is low risk and high demand.
Yeah,
low risk, high demand. So I'm assuming it's low risk because there's not a lot going on. And like you said, people don't usually leave.
Yeah.
And high demand, because we just talked about, it's a housing crisis. Yeah. And it's a very affordable way to live.
Yes.
So it's actually like something that is getting bigger.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. It's especially what's happening right now, right? Like I said, we're seeing prices are going up, inflation. People still need a, you know, affordable place to live. And so it is becoming more attractive because it's like apartment rent's not going down. And now I can make $20 an hour, $15 an hour, and I can go live in a community. I can have my own home for, and I can pay kind of similar to either what an average apartment rent is or less, or I can own my home for $15,000 in like 3 years, 4 years, whatever the terms look like. So people are starting to realize, like, all right, especially people that are like, you know, like 30 and up. They're like, yo, you know what? Let's go ahead and downsize. Like, we trying to live in the city and things. Let's go get this mobile home, save some money. Because you go into parks, you see Benzes, you see them big F-150s. Like, they live good because their cost of living is cheaper.
And it's a low turnover, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
What about competition? Like, is it a competitive market right now?
Yes. It definitely is. I think on all aspects, it's competitive as far as, you know, people come into the space want to buy mobile home communities. Now, what it's still, when the last time we spoke, institutionally, what I mean by that, like you know, company, like private companies or large institutions only had owned 10% of the market share. The rest we call mom and pop parks, meaning they just, you know, they've been in a family, they're, you know, privately owned. Now, that's probably up to about right around like 13-15%. So there's still a lot of communities out there. Some people are sitting and holding a value, and then some people are like, you know what, I'm not about to sell to you to come in here and raise the value and push my tenants out. And so it's all about relationships nowadays, right? You got to build a good relationship with somebody who has a community. You know, some people, a lot of park owners, they are older and they like, you know what, my kids don't want this, you know, they look like a nice couple, we'll sell them my mobile home community.
No, I was going to hop in and say, because I know viewers, for the individual home aspect, mm-hmm. I would say that is not competitive. It's still a very low competition market. If someone's watching this and they're like, hey, I just still want to get into even the individual space and then transition to the mobile home community space, it's still a great market to get mm-hmm. in as far as that low risk involvement in real estate.
Yeah, I'm thinking from the standpoint, and I'm glad you said it, it was like, they're cranking out 30 homes a day, mm-hmm. right? You have parks. At some point, do you think, hey, maybe I should design it or create the actual homes to actually sell to people?
We have. Yeah. We definitely have. I got a list of all the manufacturers. And, you know, I honestly look at it like 2023, I want to go into an acquisition where I buy a actual manufacturer company mm-hmm. so we can have. Because what happened with the pandemic did is slow down the production. So it's a lot of park owners who are on still waiting for new homes to come in because right now, like you said, it's a demand. So people are now trying to fill up their parks. It's still like the Wild Wild West, meaning whereas you got a park. Detroit has a park. Rashad got a park. Rashad just bought a park. He got 70 units, all filled. You got a park, you got 70 units, but only 50 is filled. So you may come to somebody like, hey, listen, I need some homes. So they can go to Rashad's park mm-hmm. and take money out of Rashad's park by buying a home, taking it out of his park to bring it yours. Now that can cost Rashad anywhere from $20,000 plus because he got a fill of his land. And now that stopped. That's just another home the cash flow is out.
So the person that actually, he just going, how's that work? He's just going to take it from the lot?
So here's the thing. Yeah, so here's the thing. When you own, for example, mobile homes inside of mobile home communities, except in Texas, New Hampshire, Vermont, they are titled just like cars, right? Mm-hmm. So I own the asset once I have that title. I don't necessarily have to have this in the community. So as for us, we try, you know, you want to get tenants on leases and agreements saying, hey, I want to stay in this spot for at least a year. Some people have 2-3 year commitments, whatever that looks like. So now if let's say I'm not in a, you know, it's Rashad's park and it's your park, I'm gonna bring it to you. If I have the title and Sharnice says, hey, I can help you, I'll buy the home from you, right? Cool. And she's the highest bidder. Now she can go buy that home. She's the title owner and she can go to Rashad like, yo, I'm the title owner. So unless you're gonna give me $30,000 for this house, I'm moving it. And Rashad can be like, either I'm gonna pay you that or no. All right, cool. Now she's taking that home to Troy. Because she owned the asset.
Yeah, so it's like the title, like the deed for the house, the mm-hmm. title for the car.
Yeah.
Yeah, gotcha.
How do people find mobile home parks?
So I know she got a resource, mobilehomeparkstore.com.
Yeah. LoopNet.com is another one. Facebook groups, it's a lot mm-hmm. of like mobile home park mastermind Facebook groups. You can find park owners or agents that's listing parks. Driving for dollars, like mm-hmm. you can still drive around to different communities, and if the current owner is there, you can get out, have a conversation with them and just ask them like, hey, you know, you ever thought about selling or are you thinking about selling? Yeah.
I'll go ahead.
Is there like an auction? They do auctions for mobile homes? Is like auction.com, I know, like has for homes?
Like there are some. You can can find homes. But even for parks, they have some, especially if it's like on tax, you know, like a tax deed, you can get those every now and then. They have a few I've seen, like Arizona, they have auctions. I also tell them, give them the Google Map play.
Oh yeah, Google Map. You can put in your Google Maps mobile home parks near me in your area, and then it literally will show you all of the mobile home parks that's off any highways that's in your area. Mm-hmm. So that's another way to see the mobile home parks in your area.
Mm-hmm. So that's good information. So as far as like buying a mobile home park, you have like an inspector come in and they do an inspection. like if you're buying a home, but they got to do an inspection for every home? Or they just do an inspection for the land? They don't inspect the individual home.
So more so for the land, but I would tell, you know, I would encourage if you definitely get inspection over the houses as well.
You can do that?
Yeah.
Like you have somebody do each individual house.
Yep.
Just to make sure the maintenance of the houses. Because mm-hmm. that could affect you too, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, so for example, but if it's tenant owned, if the home is, you know, again, the tenant owns, mm-hmm. More so just the exterior.
How's the appraisals work?
So there are mobile home park appraisals. The process, I don't know, but I will say I like appraisals because every time a park we have, we always got equity within that. Yeah.
So do you think that for real estate investors, is this something that you would consider, people should consider instead of buying homes, buying mobile home parks or like in addition to their real estate portfolio?
Look, the CFOs that get it, get it. The CFOs that don't. Let's talk about the CFO, the Chief Financial Officer. Today's CFO is critical to the strategy and success of the business. And in growing companies, there are two kinds of CFOs. One who's struggling to keep up, spreadsheets everywhere, manual processes, errors, and lack of visibility into the numbers. It takes weeks to close the books. The other kind is on top of their game. Automated reports, inventory, e-commerce, and HR flow into the financial model seamlessly. Insights coming with the click of a button. That's why NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system used by over 28,000 growing businesses. With visibility and control of your financials, inventory, HR, planning, budgeting, and more, NetSuite is everything you need to grow all in one place. With NetSuite, you can automate your processes and close your books in no time while staying well ahead of your competition. 93% of surveyed businesses increased their visibility and control after upgrading to NetSuite. And did I mention 28,000 businesses already use NetSuite? So here's what I want you to do. Head over to netsuite.com/EYL for a special one-of-a-kind financing offer. That's netsuite.com/EYL. netsuite.com/EYL. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Head over there now.
I mean, you know, we gonna be providing competition. Right. But now, you know what though? I would say this: if you want to buy more units for a more affordable price, for example, if you buy an apartment building nowadays, the average apartment building per unit you're looking at anywhere from like 69,000 upwards to like 89,000 per unit. Whereas a mobile home park, you're looking at we like to find units anywhere 30,000 and less. But you're looking at possibly 30,000 on the high end. So we see some people like 55,000 per unit. So you get more Thank units. You yep, you get yeah. more units.
And right. you get the land too.
You get the land,
exactly.
Yep.
So every time you get to own the land,
yep.
you buy the park.
Every
the
time. Yep.
And the beautiful part of exit strategy, it depends on where your land is. Let's say, God forbid, all the homes are... Now I can go sell it to Home Depot, sell it to Walmart, sell my land to them.
So, but those two parks that you sold, why did it appreciate so much though? Because that was like a big appreciation for both of them.
Yeah.
Was it a reason? Did you like refurbish it or yeah. just good timing?
Both, right? Yeah. Just definitely adding the value to it, turning the tenants. Like I said, people are more likely to get a loan from the fact that if it's tenant owned homes, right? Because they look at it, it's riskier if I'm going to own all the homes. And then, like you said, perfect timing. After the pandemic, people saw the results, right? Rent rolls, I mean, it was on paper. Rent rolls are looking good. You're still looking, a lot of mobile home park owners, rent rolls are still like 85 to 90%. Whereas you see in apartments, I mean, you know, they struggling. It was people weren't even getting 30% of their rent rolls. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it just looked very attractive. And then the cash flow, you just saw more and more companies and investors like, yo, this is kind of safe. Because, now, this is what I've heard from my, but they used to call it basically kind of like a, you know, like a recession resistant asset class, because that's what most people are going to come when times are bad, you know, to a mobile home community.
Okay. I got that. So we got these lands. You said 2021 was a tough year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
At some point, we had to readjust the plan, reassess what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
What was that like for both of y'all? Like, you know, that could lead to some tension in the house. Right? You said 10. We still having this wedding, man.
Right.
We got to hit these numbers. So what was that like?
You know what? I will say she helped me. I was kind of stressing. And
as always. He's always stressing.
And she kept, you know, she definitely kept me level headed. You know, just look at the bigger picture. Look at what we have. You know, look what we've been able to create. And that did help me.
And then I'm going to say, look what we've done, right? So at that point, we were like, oh, we want to get so many mobile home parks. But then I think we didn't realize what we created in the educational space as far as, you know, we got over 10,000 students enrolled in our program. So that's another stressor, mm-hmm. you know, within itself on building the top mobile home investing educational program in the country. That comes with, again, we had to build a team around that. So now we have a team of 8 under us now just for that alone, and then still trying to build our team around the mobile home communities as well. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so y'all building 2 different entities, but one's educational and mm-hmm. it's still right. practicing in the space.
Yes.
It's mm-hmm. tough. It's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Do you have a park manager?
Yes. So every community has a park manager.
And they live there?
Mostly we offer, but they can't live without. I think one of them does not live on the community.
And they're like the super, kind of?
Basically, yeah. Yep. Just like a super. Yeah, the difference is they don't fix anything. They'll mostly call the shots. You know, yeah. they make sure, you know, they report everything. Yep. Yeah,
just to check on everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What do you think the future for mobile homes in America is?
So honestly, so this is the mobile home park space, the manufactured home space, technically kind of threatens the housing sector. Why? Because they're cranked out in a factory. So if America really regulated this and said, okay, cool, free will, you guys, everybody can create factories. Now you're talking about what you're going to do to contractors and builders, right? Because now if we just popping up all these homes up, you know, factories, and we just putting them places, that hurts, right? So, you know, it's still regulated. But I see the, I mean, if you guys, you know, anybody that's watching, you know, you can Google 2022 mobile homes, manufactured homes. And I mean, now they're manufacturing townhomes and, you know, multi-level floors and things like that. So the future, as people are looking to downsize, or people realize that they don't need too much space, living in kind of like that minimalistic life, you know, it's affordable. I think we really will see more people in that space. You see the tiny home space, the container home mm-hmm. space. You know, it's all right of the same
alley. Yeah, you watching those like assets and saying, all right, is this competition, right? Because, you know, we know some people that have tiny home mm-hmm. communities. And
nah.
Yeah. So nah. It's completely different.
Completely, because for us, owning the land, come on, tiny home. Come on, container home. Like, right. we got some, we can replace
on
those.
One,
right? Yeah.
You could do that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Have you thought about doing that?
No, yeah. Well, she has. She loves it.
I love, right. I'm like, I have. I love tiny homes. So that's originally what I wanted mm-hmm. to get into before we even got to the mobile home space. What attracted me to mobile homes was the affordability. So, you know, tiny homes is kind of like, they're on the same lines as regular single family home prices. And, you know, certain markets, you can get a tiny home for like $70,000 versus like when we first started, we didn't have anything. So me going out and searching for a mobile home that we can get for $3,000 and flip it for $10,000 was more attractive.
Makes more sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this is a land play. Really.
Yeah. 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 It's all land play. Yeah.
Land play.
Mm-hmm.
You've been watching the McDonald's documentary.
Yeah.
That's like the primary focus.
Yep, yeah. On the land.
But you, so, all right, you buy the land, but you can't do anything you want with the land, though, right? Like, you can't kick the people off. Technically, you can?
Technically, but, you know, again, I mean, for myself, living integrity, nah. I personally want to do it.
I'm
yeah. But you can. Right. Yeah.
You can.
So, for example, we just come to a park in North Carolina, and they had, I don't know, maybe 20 plus homes mm-hmm. and he's a developer, and he's just like, yo, like, I think they got everybody out of the homes and now sell the rest of these mobile homes, and they're going to develop apartments.
So like when you go for financing for this, since you're buying land, but you're also buying houses, what kind of loan is it?
Yeah. So it is they do have manufactured home community loans specifically
just for this.
Yep. And Fannie Mae, they actually have a certain amount that they have just for manufactured home communities that they actually allow. I don't remember the actual number. So, you know, we're seeing more and more lenders now that are lending for mobile home parks.
And like, what's the requirements? Like, same like you, like tax returns?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty much like a commercial real, right? You know,
like
same thing.
Commercial real estate, same mm-hmm. thing? 20% down payment?
We was in this space 25-30%. So we hoping to go down to 20.
Was it always that? Or you've seen it change?
We haven't seen. Well, so just, I go ahead.
No, I was gonna say, just from when we just first started doing this, I would say it's always been kind of 30%. Yeah.
Now going back to that land play that you said, from, let's say, like, you want to turn it into apartments, or you want to call commercial real estate, something like that. Do you have to now go back to the zoning laws and go to the county and figure out if we can?
Yes.
Same process. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Then you can refi, probably.
Yeah. And so that's really the play, honestly. Like, for example, you know, again, just EYL, you gotta get plays out here, man. You know, you gotta get plays. But you know, again, if I find a community, I add value to it, I want to refinance, right? Because now I can go take that with the equity, and I can go put the down payment on another community. And so that's what most are doing, just like the, you know, the burst strategy, just like with houses, people are doing that with mobile home communities.
So I know 10 was the goal last year.
Mm-hmm.
We set a goal. I mean, it's still early in 2022. We've set a goal for this year.
Yeah.
I don't even want you to say that. Like, you tell me the goal. We gonna hold you to it.
I got bad luck with mine.
Right.
But there's a number that we're like, you know what? Realistically, we can hit this number.
Yes. Because we're rolling out a mobile home park fund. Mm-hmm. And so that allows us each quarter to buy multiple. And so the goal is to get 3 to 4 communities a quarter, and now allow opportunity for more people to come as passive investors, to get to learn how to do it. And again, we've always talked about group economics, but a lot of people don't look like us that do this. Mm-hmm. So now it's like, we open up the doors, right? I think we know what three black mobile home park owners.
Yeah.
So in this space, and it may be more, but we don't necessarily know them. So for us, we want to, each quarter, we want to say, hey, we got 10 more. You got 10 more. And that, again, allows us to buy more. And then for us, you know, kind of stepping now into that fund space, you know, that's the next thing for us.
So the fund, we can actually invest in it. How's this work? Talk to me.
Yeah. So the fund, we'll have general partners, limited partners. The fund for us, I don't know if I can say the numbers. I got to holler at Ace. but okay, I'll get hypothetical, right? So let's say the fund, we say, hey, you know what? Our general partners, we want to put $60,000 a piece, right? The goal is, we want to say we want to raise $1 million. And that million, the goal is to take that million to become down payments for each community. So that's how we get more. Instead of just buying these parks outright cash, now, right, within a million, we can find as many parks as we can, allow that be the down payment. We go get outside financing. So now what we're able to do is, hey, let's say we own $5 million in assets. The goal is to get a larger fund to look at us, add value. While we're adding value, you want a larger fund to say, you know what, look at that, that's sustainable. Okay, let me go get them $7 million for that. Mm-hmm. And now we make sure we take care of all of our investors.
What's some of the biggest issues with the park? Like, is it environmental issues? Is it tenants? Mm-hmm. Like, what's some of the downsides that can be hurtful?
Yeah,
I would say definitely tenants, maintenance issues. I think just across the board, and even traditional real estate and mobile homes, finding a reliable handyman and contractor, and even just a handyman team, has been like the biggest issues I would say we have saw.
Yeah, and then the worst, what happens is, if you don't do your due diligence, what we've seen, people actually go in and buy a community and not consult with the county, not get the okay. And so if you definitely want to be on the good side of with the city and the county, because we've seen people get a lot of trouble, right? Because what happens is, they'll buy something, it's the city's like, yo, that's already like ugly, we want that out of there, and you bought that and you're not doing nothing to that. So now you're gonna have, I mean, they're gonna come in, look for everything, code violations, everything, you know, just to, you know, so that's what we've seen people have a lot of headaches with as well.
So talking about, you also scaled the education a lot, right?
Yeah.
From the last time that we spoke. So talk about that. You talked about your students having, like, I think 10,000 students, things of that nature. So how has that been as far as scaling that? Talk about some of maybe the success stories.
Yeah.
And so we actually brought on a head coach. So I got a shout out, Nicole Briscoe.
Nicole.
She goes by the Mobile Home Mommy. But so, the beautiful thing, what I love about Nicole's story, is that she was one of our first students that hit six figures in less than 6 months. So Nicole had netted $181,000. In 6 months from wholesaling individual mobile homes and then doing some on seller finance through payments. So she reached out to us. I think she hopped on the IG live with us, mm-hmm. and I loved her energy. And I told Byron, I said, you know, we got to think about scaling our educational program, because kind of like you talked about, Troy, it's hard to, you know, have our hats fully in the investing side and try to, you know, have the number one program in the world as well. So I told him, like, I think we should bring somebody on, and she was my first choice. So we ended up bringing her on, and now she heads our mentorship program, which is a 12-month program that we do. And that program is really to scale an individual to a six-figure earner, like herself, and then get them to the seven-figure earner like us, and scale them to buying, you know, mobile home communities as well.
Yeah, and it's been a blessing. You know, I think that I remember I had some queens pray over me one time, and I remember they were just like, you're a teacher. Like, a teacher? Like, out of all things, I'm a teacher, you know? But it was fun, right? You know, just being with the people, you know, being online, you know, being able to just to share game and just, you know, you seeing the impact, and then definitely to be able to do it with her, you know? It's just, it's super dope that, you know, we get a chance to share our knowledge, you know, see people change their lives, and, you know, even like you said, scale our team. My best friend growing up, right? My best friend is even on our team, and I got that from you all, right? Seeing what y'all been able to do, and you know, it's just like, yo, like, you know, having my guy, shout out my guy Gerald, even on the squad, and it's just like the impact we've been able to do, you know, for other people's lives. Man, it's been incredible, man. And share stages, right? You know, yeah. Share stages with so many other financial literacy educators out here, and just see how genuine everybody is. Like, every time we see each other, it's all love. We might not see each other for months, but it's always love, you know. So that's the dope part.
So it's kind of like a mentorship type program.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Where you say you start off and you teach them the basics of like buying mobile homes, individual mm-hmm. mobile homes, and then scaling it to the point where they could potentially buy mobile home parks.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And it's like a step-by-step process.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. With like Zoom calls, things of that nature.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yep, Zoom calls. And then we created a bus tour. We actually take mm-hmm. them out to a community. So we'll be, you know, a city that we have a relationship with a community. We ain't took them into ours yet because it's been cold. So, you know, we'll take them out there, and we even give them opportunities. We've had students buy homes at the you know, where we, you know, the parks that we take them to, and it's just giving that hands on. But for us, it's big, like, we want them to be able to touch us, right? We want them to be, it was not like we Hollywood, like, all right, y'all, see y'all from a distance. It's more like, no, come on, we gonna come and break bread with y'all. Like, come and sit down, ask us,
full weekend.
Pick our brain. Mm-hmm. Like, while you there with us, like, everything that we have, we gonna pour into them. And then after that, we bring on more and more people's skill, whether it's, you know, a business credit, whether it's, you know, mobile home on private land. Like, it's, we continue pouring mobile homes into them, and we've been able to, out of that, we've had some six-figure earners. We've had, you know, just countless five-figure earners. But, and then for us, we want to build within so that this brand, Mobile Home Elite Investors, just, it lasts forever, and it's bigger than just me and Sharnice.
So that was pretty key. You said that some of the students actually get to purchase from your properties.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But do you also make sure and go out to secure their first property as well?
That's the goal. Yeah. Like, that's the really goal. Like, it's an intense program. Like, Nicole, what I love about it, man, she a real coach. So she mm-hmm. is on they ass. Mm-hmm. And because we care, though, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and that's the thing. Like, I always tell people, like, don't invest in this if you don't really see yourself doing it. If you want the information, cool, just watch all of YouTube, watch everything for free, mm-hmm. right? But if you serious, that's when I want you to invest. I don't want your money if you just, this is, you know, just something, right? And so, you know, it's we make sure that we put as much, you know, we can. I mean, like they say, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. So we try our best to give them as much resources. If we got to push their head in the water, that's what we're going to do.
Right.
Yeah. No, it's one of these things where it's like I said, there's no college for it. There's no, mm-hmm. you know, education that you can go to a university. So, mm-hmm. you know, the online space has become new universities. Facts. Especially for these type of niche learning, like trucking,
facts,
mobile
facts.
Home investing, mobile home park buying, mm-hmm. and like you said, I mean, it's always free information as far as on YouTube and Google, mm-hmm. things of nature. But when you're talking about mentorship, mm-hmm. and like mm-hmm. more of a hands-on situation, that's a lot different.
Yeah.
So it's like you said, it's not for everybody.
Facts.
But for people that actually do want to take the next step. So with that being said, we're going to do something special for EYL, and you know, always try to do something a little different.
Take care of the family.
Yeah. And anybody that has an offering, we try to get like a special discount, and you guys have been willing to oblige, so we appreciate that. So it's actually two offerings. So The website is mobilehomes.com, and you have the regular course that you have. That's like a self-go-as-you-go program where, you know, it's just it's videos and you just learn. And that, you're going to do $1,000 off, right?
Yes, sir. That. Of course.
Appreciate that. And then the more advanced, more in the mentorship, that's the hands-on. Mm-hmm. That's where you actually get the Zoom calls and actually go on the bus ride and get, you know, be part of the community and actually, like, you know, actually go from the steps of buying your first home to, you know, potentially buying your first mobile park. And for that, you're going to do $2,000 off.
Yes, sir. Yep.
So I appreciate that. So, so you can go to mobilehomesEYL.com and, you know, check it out if you're interested in furthering your education and taking it to the next level. Because, like I said, I mean, I think this is something that is interesting. You know, the first time was very interesting as far as the mobile home, but then the mobile home park, like I said, even the land, that's what really gets my attention, like the land, like you literally in a position where you can actually purchase land, and that's everything. We're in a race for land in this world. Yeah. So, you know, whoever owns the land owns everything.
And they're making more of it.
Facts. Very true.
Yeah. So what's next? What's next for you guys?
Yeah, man. So, you know, concentrating on the fun. And, you know, I think for us, continuing to cultivate our students. You know, I think that that's the biggest thing. Like we said, as far as the brand, Sharnice and I realized, you know, we're getting married July 2nd of this year, right? So, thank you. Thank you.
Right. Life, you know, hopefully after that comes a family. So, life's going to change. We can't be at the forefront all the time. So, like you said, that's why we're trying to build our students up. You know, started with Nicole. We want to eventually have a full team of coaches across the country that are teaching mobile home investing in each market. So, that's our biggest goal with that.
It's gonna be fun.
Oh, man. Super fun, man. I always appreciate y'all, man. It's always dope linking with you guys, man. Truly appreciate y'all.
You on our first event too.
Yeah, first show was in DC.
December 9th, 2019.
It was you, Rashana Sky, and Wall Street Trapper.
Yeah,
that was his first time speaking to like a group of people.
Yeah, that was crazy.
That was my first time too. A lot of firsts.
So a lot has changed since then, for sure. But definitely, congratulations, proud of you guys for sure.
Yeah, thank you so much.
How can people stay in touch? Like, what's the website? What's the social media handles? All that stuff.
Yeah, for sure. So definitely Instagram is one of our heavy sites, at Mobile Home Elite Investors. Same thing. That's our Facebook, at Mobile Home Elite Investors. Watch us on YouTube. We got so much just free stuff out there. You can type in Mobile Home Elite Investors or MH Elite Investors. Website, mobilehomeeliteinvestors.com. Man, that's everything for us.
Yep.
Anything you want to say, Ernie's?
Man, I just want to say thank y'all again for having us come back. Definitely appreciate y'all. And for everybody watching, I hope to see y'all in the mobile home space. Come join us in the mobile home space.
Troy, y'all's keeping
Yeah, man. I just want to say personally how proud I am of y'all.
Thank you.
To see your growth from Bureau in 2019 to 10,000 students is remarkable. And it was one of those first success stories, like you said, like it was the biggest episode that we had put out at the time. And we always like to say, like the match was lit, but the gasoline was poured. And y'all have definitely done that. So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
And I know 2021, you know, wasn't the greatest year for you, but there's something that was missing. And that was an EYL episode.
Two times.
You know how this thing works. So shout out to y'all first and foremost. And shout out to all the earners out there.
Thank you.
All of y'all, man, across the world. Not even just the United States. I want to say all our global earners. Shout out to all of y'all. Y'all have just been spreading the word of EYL and the word of financial literacy. So thank you. And thank you for all your support. Shout out to all our patrons on Patreon. And shout out to everybody in the merch team. Shout out to all our people in EYL University. The team has grown. So we got a lot of people over there. We got some professors. So shout out to them. And keep rocking with us.
Thank you guys for rocking with us. We'll see you next week. Peace.
Peace.
My graduates from my school being Forbes. Bag drop. A mic drop. Bag drop.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month,
like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4x points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.